of the Holy Spirit found in Timothy's letter. And we've been through the fruit of the Spirit, and we started in the gifts of the Spirit, but we didn't get far. But the work of the Holy Spirit, our heritage, our birthright as the children of God with the third person of the Trinity dwelling within us, the God within us, Holy, and that he has sealed us in Ephesians. We're sealed with the Spirit. His desire to bring forth fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we went into that in depth. Our ability to, unfortunately, our ability to grieve the Spirit and to even quench the Spirit, but he will never leave us nor forsake us, even if we do that, because God is faithful. And we just started, and we're going to read actually from 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read the whole chapter for context. We don't do that often, but today we'll read the whole chapter and then dive into a few of the passages here in 1 Corinthians 12. It's actually been years since I've taught on the gifts of the Spirit, but we'll tend to that today. So if you would stand with, if standing for 5 minutes or more is too much, feel free to stay seated. But if you're able to stand, would you stand with me and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. He says, now concerning spiritual, the word gifts there is in italics, spiritual things, spiritual matters, the spirituals could also be a way of translating the Greek word there. Now concerning spiritual things, gifts, gifts are what comes up later, so gifts is a proper insertion by the translators there. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another the word, the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. He's writing about us here in verse 18. Every one of us, just as he pleased. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there would be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? All of these are followed by a question mark in the text. Questions that elicit a negative answer, an obvious no. Verse 30. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The last verse to focus, sharpen the focus, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Perhaps you're reading the older version of the King James and it says covet, but that's desire earnestly. Covet the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Okay, you can be seated. So we read the chapter to give the whole context to get the proper focus, so when we dive into certain passages, we don't get lost in the shuffle. The whole focus of this chapter is to build up the body of Christ. He gets into teaching on the gifts and even the ministries that some of the gifts bring with them. But he's making it very plain that every single member is needed. There's not one person here that's not needed. As a matter of fact, we have some people missing this morning, and they're missing this morning, but they're needed in the body. And hopefully they'll maybe recover if they're sick, or maybe they're traveling, they'll be back with us. And there may be needs that we have that God will be bringing someone else. Maybe they'll come through the door not yet saved. Many get saved here. Some come to us already born of the Spirit of God, and they find a home and begin to minister in the body of Christ. But the point is that every single member is needed. When we get into the gifts, everyone has a gift, or what may be more than one, and the purpose of the gift is to build up the body. The purpose of the gift is to serve one another, to add what's needed here and there, and God, you have a need, God gives somebody else the supply, and they come and they bring the supply. And this is on the natural level, on the supernatural level as well, because we're not limited to the natural as the family of God. We are called to a supernatural life, a life of faith, to walk with Jesus Christ, who we do not see, but by faith we follow Christ. We're the followers, disciples. We went into the context of the letter when we first began this series, how Paul was the church father at Corinth. He spent many months there. Some churches he planted and he was driven out of town in a matter of days or weeks. But in Corinth, he resided there for well over a year. And he was the church father, the church planter there. He had the authority, although some were trying to contest that because the devil's always at work. Always trying to tear down godly authority, whether it's in a marriage or in a family or in a church or in a nation, for that matter. We see that going on all around us, the satanic attack on bona fide, God-given authority. The institutions that God has ordained, Satan is attacking. That's why we were praying for marriages just a few moments ago. And Paul's apostolic authority in the church was contested, but he didn't let that keep him from writing these letters to set things in order. And actually, there's a letter missing. From the reading 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we are aware that there's another letter to the Corinthians that did not make it into the scriptures. But we have these two that are the Word of God. The church at Corinth had several problems. One of them was divisions in the church. That's one of the underlying purposes and one of the things he addresses in this chapter, that there should be no schisms. God is not willing for there to be schisms. There's one spirit, and God wants us to enjoy the oneness. Obviously, the devil has, over the centuries, made some inroads, so the body of Christ, There's various doctrines, various denominations out there. And to get past that, to get past, if you will, the damage that the devil has done, really, love is the answer. For us to love our brothers and sisters that maybe we don't agree with. And I'm going to address two ends of the spectrum that really come into view with this chapter. We went into some of our own local church background. This church was actually born out of the charismatic movement 45 or more years ago. And then God brought us, and the wonderful things about the charismatic movement, Jesus was working there. People were getting saved in mass back in the late 60s, early to mid 70s, and was known as a Jesus movement. The Holy Spirit was working in a tremendous way. That was the positive. The negative was there wasn't a lot of theological depth. There wasn't a lot of knowledge or understanding. A lot of babes hadn't even read the Bible through, maybe never have since, I don't know. But it made for a lot of ignorance, which gave the devil some opportunity to, of course, bring division, more diverse doctrines rather than diverse gifts. And here we find the gifts are very diverse, but the unity of the Spirit is the point, building up the body of Christ in the oneness. And that's why love is the more excellent way, because love is what overcomes. I have friends that are, you know, come from covenant theology, which, you know, I make it plain, I don't believe that. But I love them, I'll fellowship with them, and we don't get into arguments over it. Have some friends on the other end of the spectrum too, that, you know, they believe, and usually the covenant theology, at least we share in common with them, that if you have salvation, it's an eternal work of God. You don't have to worry about losing it. But I also have friends, and we work with people. In fact, we have some ministries come here. That believe that they can lose their salvation. I believe it's a weakness in their ministry, but yet God has given them a great ministry. And, you know, we support them, pray for them, even though we don't agree with their theology. And they believe that they can lose their salvation. They have some sympathy because when we first came to Christ, I'm speaking of Pastor Handel, who's the co-founder of the church, we were trained in that. We believed you could lose your salvation. And God in his mercy brought us out of that into a security. And I like to refine because on either end of the spectrum, there's usually some weakness. If you get to one end of the spectrum, there's usually something that they're not seeing. And at the other end of the spectrum, there's usually something they're not seeing. And somewhere between the two extremes is the truth. That's often the case. The Corinthian church, they had an abundance of gifts, but they were even abusing the gifts. And that's one of the reasons Paul wrote this letter, to straighten them out on their divisions. They also had a lot of carnality going on, sexual immorality rampant in the church. And so he wrote to correct them on all these, the immorality, the schisms and divisions, and also their abuse of the gifts. He made his point that it's just one body. There's not room for all of the schisms. Last time, in part four of this, we got as far as verse 7, and then we just quickly made reference to the different gifts that are mentioned here in verses 7 through 11. But with the emphasis on verse 4, 5, and 6, the same Greek word, which is translated as diversities, differences, and then again diversities, varieties of gifts, the gifts, many different gifts. This list is not complete. There's another list in Romans 12, adds six more. That's not complete. Just like the lists of sins in the Bible, they're not complete either. There are many more sins than the ones that are listed in the Bible, you know. But we're not going to go there this morning. We will when it's time. But anything outside of faith, that's the catch-all verse in Romans 14. Anything that is not of faith is sin. So people that are very focused on what's a sin and what is not and what's a sin. The truth of the matter is people that get focused on that, they need to get their attention redirected to what is God willing? What is the right thing to do? Where do we walk by faith? And as long as we're doing that, then we don't have to be so occupied with, is this a sin or that a sin? And we'll have clear discernment on that subject as well. And we'll be occupied with doing the right thing, not preoccupied with who's doing the wrong thing. Now, we'll pick it up at verse 7 and get in a little deeper. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation, the outshining, as one of the commentators puts it, the open show, the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, it's His will that we know that the Holy Spirit is working in us individually, in our personal walk with God, for us to really grow in grace and grow in our faith. And He's willing for us to know that the Holy Spirit is working in our local assembly and in the body of Christ, and to see the evidence of it, to see, yes, the Holy Spirit is working there through this one, through that one. And He wants us to know that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. God wants to reveal Himself and the power of His Spirit in every single one of us here. So we're aware of it. Usually we're aware of it first, not always, but then others are aware of it. And sometimes we become aware of it because someone else comes to us and lets us know, wow, what you said, that really ministered to me. And, you know, maybe we weren't aware. We didn't say, thus saith the Lord, I have a word for you. In fact, that kind of language is kind of scary to me. I've been around it, I understand. But usually if people preface what they say with those kind of remarks, it really casts doubt in my mind that they actually do. But I'll listen, and then I'll measure it against the Bible. I'll let the Word of God be the test. But, you know, we'll say something, and maybe we know, maybe we're aware that we're actually ministering to them exactly what they need to hear. Or maybe we're not, even sometimes. But we love them, and what comes out of our mouth is right from the Holy Spirit, and we didn't even know it until they say so. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to know He's working in our midst. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then He goes into these, and we'll just take a little more time to explain these different gifts. And you may have one, or maybe even more than one, and you may not have it today, and it may come tomorrow. Because some of the gifts, if you will, become residential and become ministries, and other gifts are for the moment. They're just a gift, kind of a blessing from God to meet the need at the moment. That's why there's different gifts, different ministries, and different activities. A gift could result in a ministry. Hopefully, I have a gift of preaching, prophecy, teaching. If not, I got no business. Somebody else better get up here and take this microphone. But what I have, it's not of me. It's of God, and I'm not the only one either. We have others that have a gift of teaching, a gift of preaching. This is all part of the gift of prophecy. And it's a gift from God to build up the body of Christ, but it's just one of them. Some of the gifts, and preaching isn't the only one that can result in a ministry. The word of wisdom through the Spirit, this is speaking of a divine word that addresses the everyday things of life. That God sees things from His viewpoint that we don't see clearly. But this word of wisdom God gives to share with someone so they can see clearly. And oftentimes we find we're all perplexed at some time. We don't, what's going on here? What are we going to do with this? What does God want me to do? And we're like, we don't see clearly. Now, we can draw near and have the Holy Spirit reveal it directly to us. That can happen, because He is our guide. And then also God can use others to come and speak a word of knowledge to say, I believe this is what God would have you to do. Or oftentimes when I'm presenting that, I often say, if I were in your shoes, this is what I would do. This choice is still up to whoever we're giving counsel to. But if we don't have a word of wisdom, we really don't have any business counseling. Because if we're just going to give them our opinion, that's trouble. But if we have a word of wisdom from God, then we can give godly counsel and they can be benefited. And I may have this gift of wisdom. The reason I say that is because over the years I've had many, many people come to me and say that I have wisdom. Well, I don't think it's for me. If I have wisdom, sometimes I question their wisdom when they say that. And in fact, we had one gal worshiped with us for many years here, and she said to me, "You're the wisest man I've ever met." And I didn't say it to her, but I just said, "I feel sorry for you." I didn't say that to her, but I said, "Thank you very much." But and the reason I don't let it go to my head is because it's not me. I don't have that much wisdom. But if I have any wisdom, it's a gift from God. And if I can benefit other people with it, I'm glad to do that. It's to build up the body of Christ. And I think there's probably many people here that have a gift of wisdom. It's from God, supernatural. The word of knowledge. Now, this is precise information. And I've seen this operate at times. And God knows exactly what's going on in everybody's life. And a lot of times people, they're trying to hide it from everybody else. But God knows. And if he wants to call it out, he can give a word of knowledge to somebody. And this should be used, again, all of these gifts are used to build up the body of Christ when they're used in the local church setting or in the body of Christ. It's not to elevate anyone, although some people, when they abuse their gifts, you know, they get a spirit of pride, and because of the human weakness, sometimes others, you know, want to put them on a pedestal because they have this gift or that, and that's not what it's about. It's about building up the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to pause right now to say there's two ends of the spectrum here. We came from, and we were actually guarded from the charismania. When I first asked this question, I said, "How many of you have experienced charismania?" And about a third raise their hands. You've had some brush. Maybe you were in a church that fell into that category, or you visited one and some of you were scared. And often that's because the gifts are abused, they're magnified above what they should be, and it results in charismania. They're not used properly. They make a bigger deal out of them than they should. Then there's the other end of the spectrum where they would say, the gifts are not for today. And maybe you've come from that background. And I understand, we actually, how many have ever heard of the Sword of the Lord Foundation? Just Pastor Handel and I? Okay. Well, we actually went to a conference. Oh, that's right. Dr. L goes back that far. We actually traveled to Murfreesboro, Tennessee we were interested in soul winning. So we fellowship. Pastor Stevens, who was the founder of Greater Grace, and before that, the Bible speaks. He was from that. He was from the independent Bible Baptist mold. And he got basically blacklisted when he began to fellowship with charismatics. And he brought a guitar into church. And back in the 60s, that was a no-no in that particular camp. Anyways, so that's the other end of the spectrum. And to those that want to believe the gifts are not for today, I would humbly just say, well, any of them? Which ones? Do you still believe in the gift of preaching? Which they do. Obviously, they believe. They'll say the gifts are not for today, but they believe in the gifts of teaching and preaching, at least, and also church planting, evangelism. They believe in those gifts, but then they usually are really kind of afraid of the gift of tongues because it's kind of spooky, at least to them. And it can be spooky, but that's usually the one. But I would say to them, would you like to have some gifts? You're praying for healing. Would you like to have some miracles? They usually won't say, no, we don't believe there's miracles aren't for today. And because they want miracles. And we all, every child of God, we want to have our prayers answered in a powerful way. So when they say we don't believe the gifts are for today, they're isolating certain gifts. But I don't believe that. I think they're in error. And, it's convenient for them to believe that. But the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the body of Christ still has the same needs that the body of Christ has always had because we are human beings in need. So although we maybe don't see the gifts in operation in the magnitude that they were in the book of Acts, that doesn't mean that God isn't willing. In fact, we hear the reports of God doing works of miracles at a more rapid pace or more often, maybe in other places, in other countries than here in America. And there may be some reasons. I don't have time to get into all of that. But Jesus did ask the question, would he find faith on the earth when he came for his second coming? So this battle of living by faith, this is for every single one of us. This is the good fight. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight of living by faith, of believing God and taking him at his word and experiencing fellowship with the Father through the Son and in the agency of the or the ministry of the Holy Spirit, really living, breathing in God. So we'll go back to the gifts. Word of knowledge, specific, precise information that God gives to somebody for a certain person or situation. A gift of faith. And this is a special supernatural. Now, we all have a gift of faith, and some have more faith here than others. Faith is something that we can also develop as we follow Jesus Christ. The more we obey the Word of God, the more we see the Holy Spirit honor the Word, the more our faith builds and grows. But then there's a special gift of faith, and usually this is at a particular time when maybe a miracle is needed. Prayers are being prayed, and nothing but a miracle will answer that need. And some, their natural mind saying, I don't really believe God for that. They may not confess it, and maybe it's better that they don't. It all depends on the situation. And others are saying, you know what? I believe God is going to do that. I don't know how, but I believe it's going to happen. And a special gift of faith that honors God and that he uses in that situation. And then it says to another, gifts of healings. And this is in the plural. And this can be, and oftentimes we've heard of specific, God gives a gift of healing here or there in answer to prayer. We'd obviously love to see it more often, but, you know, we need to draw near and commune with God and be encouraged in our faith. This also can result in a ministry of healing. And we don't see much of this, at least here in America, but we've heard of, how many remember the name Catherine Kuhlman? Catherine, we're showing our age here. She had a bona fide healing ministry back in the 60s and 70s and became famous for it. A very humble gal. And her testimony was that God wanted to give that ministry of healing to a man, but he refused it. And because the man refused it, God said, all right, well, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to a woman, which we find in the scriptures God has done before, especially in the book of Judges when Barak refused the leadership of Israel. God tapped Deborah, the prophetess, to go with him. And she said, well, since you turned down the call of God to lead the army and you're calling me to go with you, the glory of the battle is going to go to a woman. And it did. And Jael is named after her. The woman's name was Jael. She was keeping a tent, and she drove a tent peg through the temple of the enemy king, commander. And Sisera. So we see that principle. So I would say this. Men, when the call of God comes on your life, don't turn it down. I say that to the ladies too. Don't turn it down. But men, if the call of God comes on your life and you turn it down, God might just call a woman. I think just to humble. Anyways, God's going to have his will done. And he knows how he's going to get it done. And he invites us to come and be a part of it. And our answer should be yes. It's okay to tell. He knows if we're afraid. Say, the answer is yes, but I'm scared stiff. Help me here, Lord. And I guess you would say that's kind of how it went with Gideon's call. He didn't say no, but he confessed his insecurities, his lack of faith. And God said, well, we can work with that. We have ways to build your faith. I'm ad-libbing here, commenting on the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. So to be honest before, he already knows what's going on in our heart and mind, so to confess directly to him, a lot of times we need to leave people out of it because that will just, you know, muddy the waters. But between us and God, say yes. And then whatever else we need, confess, and he'll be glad to supply. And he knows already, so. The gifts of healing can result in a ministry of healing. There's been others that have had ministries of healing, but unfortunately, there's usually been some scandal involved, and the devil loves to, you know, get in and disturb the work of God. Personally, I can't help but think God would love to give more ministries of gifts of healings where people are humble enough to receive it and appropriate it properly. It's possible he may have a hard time. And I've even thought about this. Like, if God was willing to give me a gift of healing, that would be a scary thing. I think that somebody would have to live in a gated community these days because people would be banging down their door. And we see in the Gospels, Jesus suffered from this. His fame went out to the point where he couldn't even stay in a town. He had to go always camp out because they wouldn't give him a moment's peace. And it's possible if God gave any one person a ministry of healing, they'd have to, like, live on an island and just come off or somehow protect their time so they could eat or sleep, because that was the problem, that Jesus had to get out of town so they could have a moment of peace to eat or sleep. So maybe that's why we don't see more ministries of healing, but God, for us to just be open. So if God comes and wants any of you to have a ministry of healing, you know, maybe you have to go live in a gated community, but come visit once in a while, would you? But in the meantime, the gifts of healings we desire, we see them from time to time. The most recent one I heard was about Robbie Tompkins having a miracle healing of his ear. The doctors couldn't even figure out how. A long time ago, Sean Hewlett, the doctors called him in for surgery, and then they said, what we wanted to operate is gone. We don't know how or why. Perhaps you've heard of miracles like that. There are gifts of healings. They're a gift from God. They're a miracle. And he gives them. And then the working of miracles, and the actual word that's translated miracles is the root word that we get for power. A dunamis is the root word here. Supernatural power. And it's a gift, and we hear of it from here every once in a while, an out-and-out miracle. And actually, this miracles of power or gift of miracles can either be positive or negative. I mean, the Apostle Paul called out the sorcerer that he would be blind, temporarily blinded, and he was. So not all the miracles were positive. Usually, we look for positive miracles. To another prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy, there's two actually forms of prophecy. The word that's translated prophecy is can be forthtelling or foretelling. Now, usually when you say the word prophecy in the English language, we think of telling the future or foretelling. Somebody's telling a future event that hasn't happened yet. But forthtelling, telling forth the word of God, hopefully that's what's happening right now in a supernatural way. And I'm not predicting the future here at all. But in the gift of preaching and teaching, prophecy is a supernatural element of speaking for another. That's what the word means, speaking for another. In this case, prophecy means we're speaking for God. We're saying what God would have us to say. We're letting God use our mouth, our tongue, our vocal cords to communicate what he wants to communicate. That's a gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is another one that often can turn into a ministry. Not always. In fact, if we go to another place in Scripture, Paul says, you can all prophesy. Every single one of us. The truth of the matter is, God is willing to speak through every single one of us. And you may or may not become a teacher or a pastor or even a Sunday school teacher. You may not have a ministry of teaching, but that doesn't mean God doesn't want to speak through your mouth to certain individuals at certain times. And when that happens, you have a gift of prophecy. And sometimes the people will know it. Some of you have probably had somebody come to you and say, God told you to say that. Anybody? How many have had that experience? Somebody's come to you and told you that right to your face. God is speaking through you. Well, those are gifts of prophecy right there. Another, the discerning of spirits. This is a very necessary gift because the devil is a counterfeiter, and he loves to counterfeit the gifts. And some need to have the gift to say, that's of God and that is not, and have the discernment of spirits and be accurate with it. The discern, and especially if you're going to cast out demons. And actually, Pastor, I was kind of shocked Pastor Schaller asked that question at the convention. And there was like, I don't know, more than 2,000 people there. He said, how many of you have cast out demons ever? And that's not something that we specialize in or Greater Grace is known for, but he just wanted to know. And there was less than a handful that raised their hands. Pastor Handel was one of them. And I was another one of them. And it's not something it's been many years since I've cast a demon out. But I want to be ready next time. I might have even missed an opportunity or two here along the way. But the discerning of spirits is necessary. If you're going to cast a demon out of somebody, you better know what you're dealing with. Any one of us has the power. We all have the authority because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. Whether we pray for healing, it better be in the name of Jesus. Nobody here is going to pray for healing in your name, are you? No. If we're going to pray for healing, we want to pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us his name. He said, you pray to the Father in my name. And if you're going to cast a demon out of somebody, it better be in the name of Jesus with the authority. And you want to have the discerning of spirits, that gift, to have the boldness and confidence to do it. Most people that are possessed by demons in this Western civilization are locked up, or they're homeless and they're living under a bridge somewhere. And but the demons are still there. Demons are still inhabiting people. And whether they're locked up and drugged in a rubber room, or whether they're running loose in the street and maybe with criminal activity or maybe not, maybe they're harmless, but just they would appear out of their mind, but they're demon possessed. And the mercy of God would deliver them if there are servants of God that are discerning enough to be used that way. Then he gets into different kinds of tongues and to another, the interpretation of tongues. And this gift, this is kind of a funny story. Did I ever tell the story about Pastor Stevens? Because he came from that Bible Baptist mentality, tongues was like the scary one on the list. He operated in several of the gifts that we've mentioned here. God would use him, not just in prophecy, not just in preaching. He was a church planter. We get into that later in the chapter, the gift of being an apostle, leadership gifts. But the gifts of tongues, he was like, he didn't want that one. And the Holy Spirit let him know, and he was in Finland and in Holland. He was on a missionary tour preaching in the churches over in Europe. And the Holy Spirit told him, you're going to speak in tongues in this meeting. And he's like, no, I'm not. No. And the Holy Spirit let him know, if you don't, there will not be any anointing. You're going to go and speak with an anointing or not? And he's like, oh, okay, all right. So he went to the meeting and he spoke in tongues, and he really was very reluctant about it. And someone that spoke the Finnish language stood up and said, you spoke this in perfect Finnish without an American accent. And then, I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, but anyways, and they spoke, it was their native language. And they said exactly what he had said in their language. And then he was in another meeting and the Holy Spirit said, now you're going to interpret. He's like, oh, he didn't want to do that either. But the next meeting, and I can't remember if that was Holland, but anyways, someone got up and said something in a language he had never learned. And as far as I know, he only spoke English. I don't remember him speaking any other language but English. But he understood what they were saying, and it was like they were speaking in English, but he was aware that it was not English that they were speaking in. But his conscious mind registered in the English language what they were saying. And he realized, okay, I guess that's it. And so he interpreted. And he didn't have a ministry of that. He didn't do it over and over again. But those two times, he operated in those gifts. And I think, though, the reason God did that with him was just so he would say, all the gifts are for today. They really are. Because he would have liked to leave those two off the list. And, you know, if God ever gives you, and you really pray about it and sense that God wants to give you a message in a language that you don't understand, you know, feel free to say, you know, give us notice if you can, but if you can't, that's okay too. Just be led by the Holy Spirit, because there's probably about a dozen different languages. We have people that speak, their native tongue is an African tongue. They're fluent in English, but if you speak in their tongue from Sierra Leone or from Ghana or from the Philippines or whatever, and we have Spanish speakers here as well, it's possible. And I'm not saying we should seek this either. I really like the Christian Missionary Alliance approach to the gifts of the Spirit. They say, seek not, forbid not. So we don't go looking for the gifts. We're not going to go crazy trying to get all the different. But the Bible tells us to earnestly desire the best gifts, the gifts that are needed, earnestly, to desire them, not seek them, and not forbid them. Because the gifts are given to build up the body of Christ. So we're going to skip through after verse 11. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. So he's gone through the whole list, not complete, of different gifts, saying the Holy Spirit's working all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit's in charge of what gifts he wants to give us. Then we have the responsibility of being willing to share it, being willing to bless the body of Christ or not. There are other gifts, and we mentioned them before in Romans 12, gifts of teaching, of leading, of mercy, of administration, of ministry, the gift of serving. I was thinking, we have several people here who have a supernatural gift of serving. Now, it may not appear supernatural to the undiscerning eye. And Steve Rollis is one that there's several here I could name, but Steve Rollis comes to mind when I think of the gift of service, because the gift of service manifests itself like this. Wherever I can help, I see a need, and God's opened my eyes to it, and I believe I can help here, so I'm going to go serve. And I'll serve here or there or wherever the need is. And that's, Steve makes it plain, that's just what he does. Because I think God has given him a gift of ministry, which means service. Just wants to serve wherever he can serve. Then there's the gift of helps. And the gift of helps sees somebody serving and realizes I can help them and make it a team effort, at least two. And the gift of helps comes. So there's a gift of service, gift of ministry. Then there's a gift of helps that comes alongside of it, and the body's built up. And we could go on and on, but we're running out of time. But there are many, many gifts. We haven't covered them all here. But you have a gift. You have a gift to bless the church that God has called you to and to let the Holy Spirit make it plain and lead you and guide you in it. What we are not going to have time to get into, the next passage deals with how diverse, you know, our body parts are all different, have different operations. But we want them all, don't we? We don't want to say, I don't need my ears anymore. Or take my eyes out. We wouldn't know. I want both my feet, please. Both my hands. They're all important to me. You know, if you had to give me a choice, what am I going to? You're going to lose something here. You're going to lose a hand or a foot. Like, well, if you could put it that way, I'm right-handed, so take my right hand, because I still want to walk, and I'll do what I can with my right hand, so take my left hand. But we don't want to be put in that situation, do we? We want the whole thing. And so it is. Every gift is needed. Every person is needed. Gets into the honorable, more honorable, less honorable. God's going to bring people through the door and has brought people through the door. They just need everybody's love and prayers. And they may have gifts that may take time for them to actually become strong enough to use to build up the body. And in some cases, their gifts may show even while they're in the midst of their weakness and need. They're, if you will, less honorable. But God says, no, we're going to give them more honor. We need them. We need them to elicit the gift of compassion that God gives us to be like him. Well, I don't know as I'll go to part six with this. I may have done a thorough enough job here. But in verse 28, he asked the questions, are all apostles, which today we would use the word missionary, although there are some denominations that still use the word apostle. That can get confusing. But I guess you would say there's a large A, that was the original 12. And then if somebody wants to use the term apostle these days, it better be a small A. They don't have the same authority the original 12. Their name's not going to be inscribed on the foundation of the New Jerusalem. They may be a church planter. They may have authority over many churches. We see that gift. Now usually we call them church planters or missionaries. But that's not everybody, but they're needed. Prophets, not everybody, but needed. Every one of us can prophesy, but that doesn't mean every one of us would be called a prophet or a teacher, a worker. The answer is no. Beware of those that want to say everyone needs to have this gift, because the Bible teaches plainly, no, no. So there are those that, you know, say, oh, well, when it comes to this gift, everybody has to have it. I guess the only gift that would be safe to say would be prophecy. And the Bible does say, Paul writes, you can all prophesy. We can all speak for God. But as far as the other gifts go, I would say there's nothing that's absolutely universal. We just need to be open to the Holy Spirit. To you. But he closes the chapter, and we'll end on this note. Earnestly desire the best gifts, the gifts that are the most needed for our local assembly. But let's pursue the more excellent way. Love is the most important of all. And if we ever lose sight of that, nothing else matters. And that's what he gets into in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. You know, I believe that we've, by the grace of God, we've been able to not lose our focus, to keep the love of Christ our priority here in this local church. And I'm determined to, for my part, to make sure that never changes. And I want to thank you all that have that same heart to say, no, love is the most important thing. The rest of it will sort out with God's help. But love, that's priority. Let's pray. Father, so much more could be said about these things. If you want us to say more, teach more. But Father, I ask you to help us, Lord, every one of us, to have the blessing and be the blessing and have the benefit of knowing that you're working through us, that you've given us a gift to serve the local assembly. And in some cases, these gifts are also to serve the greater community, the gift of evangelism, reaching out, bringing the gospel to those that desperately need it. But all of these gifts, Lord, help us to be sensitive to your Spirit, to use them, and use them appropriately according to your perfect will for the edification and the building up of the body of Christ. If you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, you can do that now in a simple prayer of faith, in your own heart, in your own mind. Please pray with me. Pray, dear Jesus, thank you for paying for my sins with your blood on your cross. I do receive you as my Savior by faith right now. Please come and live within me through your Holy Spirit. Please give me that gift of everlasting life and make me a child of God. Amen. If you're praying with me for the very first time while others are still praying, would you put your hand up quietly, quickly, so I can pray for you? Father, thank you for every precious soul that's here. Help us, Lord, to love one another from pure hearts fervently, as you've been faithful to do in our midst for so many years, Lord. Continue. Continue. Lead us and guide us the rest of this day, Lord, to be a blessing everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we have a couple of announcements.